All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, let's look in James chapter number 3. I think this is about the seventh message that we have been preaching on the power of the tongue. And so you might say, preacher, man, when are we ever going to move from this? And well, as soon as we can start living this way and living in the realization that there is life and death in the power of the tongue, then we'll move ahead. And probably this week, maybe another week or so, but we're not in a big hurry to try to move on. We want you to be able to grasp these concepts that God has given unto us. In James chapter number 3, if you'll be turning there, and then also we'll look in chapter number 1 as well this morning. So be turning your book in the book of James. And the title of the message this morning is Changing Our Course. Changing Our Course. Oftentimes, how many of you have a GPS in your car or whatever? Raise your hand. You got a GPS on your smartphone. And so oftentimes, if you're going somewhere that you're not familiar of, you plug in that coordinates and then you start down the road. And many of you know what I'm about to say. As you're driving along, all of a sudden you make a wrong turn, and that little woman's voice, I don't know why they picked a woman's voice, but anyway, they've got this woman's voice that'll come over and says, recalculating or replanning, turn around. And sometimes I just, kind of get a little irritated. Anyway, it's like, okay, I get what you're saying. And so oftentimes as a Christian, if we find ourselves going down one path and we find that things are just not working for us, if we figure that we can either do one of two things. If you're driving an automobile and you're going in the wrong direction, you can either just stomp the gas and keep on getting it and eventually run out of gas, or either you can stop and turn the wheel and go in the different direction. Amen? And so for our lives, oftentimes we can do one of two things. If you find that what you're saying is not working, if you find that you're on this course that's just not leading you anywhere, and you find that the things that's coming out of your mouth is not what, according to the Bible, you ought to be saying, then you can do one of two things. You can stomp the gas and you just keep on getting it the way you're going, or you can stop and turn the wheel and go in the opposite direction. James tells us one of the marks of a mature Christian is the ability to bridle his tongue. Look in James chapter 1, verse number 26. And he says in verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now, James is saying throughout this chapter, or throughout the book of James, there are four marks of a mature Christian. How you handle certain things in your life will distinguish whether or not you're growing or not in the Lord. You may have been saved for a long period of time. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I would grant to say that many of you have been saved for at least 5 years or longer. Some of you have been saved maybe 20 years or maybe even 30 years or longer. But James says the mark of a true mature Christian has to do, in chapter 1, how you respond to trials, how you respond to temptation, how you respond to the truth, and then last of all, how you respond to your tongue. And he says in verse 26, if a man say that I am religious, if a man say that I am a growing Christian, but he does not bridle the things that's coming out of his mouth, he says that man's religion is in vain. Now, what does he say to that? He's not just talking about the profane words. He's not talking about the curse words. He's not talking about just the four-letter words that we often think about. No, that's not what he's referring to. He's referring to every part of the communication that comes out of our mouth. Either that communication is helping us grow, or either that communication is causing us to stumble and fall. Either it is speaking words that are going to be encouraging, uplifting, edifying, or either those words are detrimental and discouraging and defeat. And he says in chapter number 3 of the book of James that we've looked at, time and time and time, as over these last 7 or 8 weeks. Look in verse chapter 3, and he says that, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we receive the greater condemnation." And what he is speaking of there is that as a teacher, as a preacher, I am responsible far greater to what I am giving to you this morning than you that are sitting in the pew. My responsibility is far greater, because here I'm going to be held accountable for what I deliver unto you as a preacher, as a pastor. My responsibility is far greater than yours as a person sitting in the pew. But he says in verse number 2, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a" what? Everybody have their Bible open. Is a what? I can't hear you. Say it one more time. Perfect man. Now that does not mean perfection as far as what we think of perfection. That does not mean that a man is complete without any kind of flaw. What it means is this man is a completed man. This man is a growing man. He says this man is achieving maturity in the Lord. He says if you don't offend, then this man is a complete man and is able to what? Bridle what? The whole body. So James is saying to us, what comes out of these lips is able to change the course of our whole body. Do you believe that? Say amen. Two or three of you do. Before it's over, hopefully all of you will. But James is saying to us that the things that come out of these lips, and by the way, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever is down here in the heart, whatever you believe down here in the heart, eventually is going to come out of the lips. Whatever you put into this well is going to come back out. You cannot put bitter water in and sweet water come back out. You cannot put poison water in and expect to have fresh water to come out. So whatever is down in the heart is going to eventually come out the mouth. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Go on for a minute. And he says to us in verse number 4, or verse 3, "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, the ships, though they be great and they're driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." You take one of those huge ocean liners, you take one of those cruise ships, and thousands perhaps of people that are on board that, several decks on board that, but there is someone up in the wheelhouse, a captain, that is controlling that huge ocean liner with just the turn of a wheel. And once he turns that wheel down underneath the ship where you cannot see, there is a rudder. And as he turns that wheel, the rudder begins to pivot back and forth. And as it pivots back and forth, the water rushing over that rudder changes the direction of the ship. It's much like an airplane. If you ever fly on an airplane, you get on board an airplane, and if you set where the wings are, you look out, and of course, there's that law of aerodynamics where the wind rushing over the wing is going to produce lift. But if you'll notice on that wing, there is what they call an aileron, something like that. But it's a small piece on that wing. It's not the whole wing, but it's a small piece that will control the direction of that plane. On the back of that plane, on the tail, there's another wing, and it will control the direction if you want to go up or if you're going down. It's going to control the direction. And the Bible says that our tongue is like that rudder. Our tongue is like the bit in a horse's mouth, and by that we can change our entire direction of life by what comes out our mouth. You say, "Man, preacher, do you really believe that?" I really believe that. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. Look in chapter 3, verse 2. The word perfect, don't miss it. He says, if you miss it, if you miss in what you're saying, he says, you are being developed. You may mess up. You may be going through this week, and all of a sudden you might something come out of this mouth that should not come out of this mouth. But you stop right then and there and said, "Oh, Lord, I messed up. Lord, forgive me. I spoke in a mist. I spoke negative. I spoke detrimental. I spoke a word of a curse instead of a blessing. And by the way, we've talked about this for those of you that have not been here, but a curse is not a four-letter word, but a curse is to declare something that is good by nature to be something that is bad. For instance, guys, if you go outside on Sunday morning and you're ready and you're set to go and you get in that car and you crank her up, and you're sitting there and you're saying, "Where is my wife? Where is she?" And if you by chance utter this out of your mouth, you know, she'll probably be late even for her funeral. You have just pronounced a curse upon your wife. If your kids, they come home from school and they bring in a bad grade, and you look at that and you say, you shake your head and they say, "Man, he's as dumb as a box of hammers." You've just produced a curse upon your children. It is important that what we speak, that we recognize that God's keeping a record book. He tells us in the book of Matthew that Jesus said, "Every idle word that men shall speak, he shall give an account of it in the day of judgment." So be careful that the things that we speak, the things that we say, the Lord is keeping note of that. You may have forgotten all about it. You may have let it just go over your head. You may have just shunned it. But God is keeping a record book. Now, if you find yourself going in that wrong direction, turn around. You don't have to keep going in that wrong direction. You can change the course. You can change the direction of your life. You can change what's coming out of these lips. You say, "Preacher, it's hard. It's difficult. I've been ingrained in this. I've been taught this. I've lived in a home that is full of negativity. I've lived in a home that's nothing but put-downs. I've lived in a home of verbal abuse." You may have, but you can change that. You don't have to continue going in that direction. You don't have to keep speaking things that are going to tear you down or tear others down. You don't have to keep speaking those things that are going to bring defeat and discouragement. But instead, you can speak those things that are going to be edifying and uplifting and encouraging. Now, notice something here in the book of James. He says that even our tongue, verse number 5, is a very little member, and it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a little matter of fire kindleth. Just from a small match, a great forest fire could break out. Just from a small ember, a great fire could erupt. I was talking with a preacher yesterday who was having breakfast together, and he was talking about one of the rental houses that he has and how that they had thought they had put this fire out, and they went home, and then the fire erupted overnight, and he burnt the house down. How great a little... A little fire, just a little ember, how it could set a whole forest on fire. And he says our tongue is the same way. It could set on fire the course of hell, that he says. Look in verse 6. So the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth. Say this one, next one with me. It defileth what? The whole body. The whole body. Now, what I want you to get out of this message this morning is this, is that we can change the course of our lives by what comes out of our mouth. You believe that? Say amen. We can change the course of our life by what comes out of our mouth. I'm going to give you four things in just a minute. But by way of introduction, let me just go and caution you on some things. Like, for instance, this week, you may be saying something that's negative. You may be saying something that's detrimental, and you don't really even realize it sometimes. This time of year, they've got the signs up everywhere. Get your flu shot. Get your flu shot. Have you ever walked in somewhere and you say, "Man, I feel like I'm getting the flu"? Huh? You say, "Preacher, I don't feel that well, and so I feel like I'm getting the flu." Whoa, wait, stop. Time out. What have you just said? You have just said, "And I feel like I'm coming down with the flu." So should it surprise us if you do come down with the flu? No. We ought not to let anything that's negative come out of these lips. Instead of that, it's a dumb thing to say that. It's a dumb thing to say, "I think I'm coming down with the flu." It's a dumb thing to say, "I'm worried about so-and-so," or "I'm worried about this," or "I think that the best thing to do is this." Those are dumb things to say. We ought to have our tongue bridled enough to where the things that before we speak, you realize that God gave us, what, two ears and one mouth? And you say, glory to God, because we ought to listen twice as much as what we speak. And the things that we speak ought to be things, not detrimental things, not discouraging things, not things of defeat. Now go with me, please, to Matthew chapter 18 for a minute. Matthew chapter 18, I want to show you how this plays out. Our words should agree with what God says. Would y'all agree with me this morning that this is the Word of God, that it doesn't become God's Word, it literally is God's Word. Would you agree with that? Say amen. This book is unlike any other book. I've got some good books. I've got some great books that I like to read, but they're written by man. This book here is God-breathed. It is the Word of God. It is not, you say, preacher, what about man somewhere along the line? Yeah, the Bible says holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost of God. It is a God-breathed book. So that means that the words are God's words. Would you say amen to that? So in Matthew chapter 18, here's how this works. Look in verse number 18, Matthew 18, 18. Jesus said here that if any two of us would agree, in verse 18 of Matthew 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall maybe be done, hopefully be done. Sometimes it might be. No, it says what, everybody? It shall be done. Say that one more time. It shall be done deal. If two of you agree on anything that is according to the will of God and the Word of God, by the way, here's the key. You can't just walk out and say, well, God told me go and buy this brand new Lexus. Whoa, wait just a second now. You cannot take out of context the Word of God. But if God's Word says it, and the Holy Spirit has guided and directed you in whatever decision that you're making in life, whether it's a marriage partner, whether it's a job change, or whatever else, if God's Word has directed you, and the Holy Spirit is directing you, God will make a way. Amen. You cannot take it out of context. The key is this. You've got to know God's Word enough. You've got to be in that book enough. You've got to study that book enough. You've got to read. By the way, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have even read it today? How many of you have read it this week? Compared to the amount of time that you've watched television this week, how much time have you spent in the Word of God? Oh. It's sad today that we can name movie stars by names. It's sad today that we can recite almost verbatim movies that we have seen, either at the theater or on the big screen or on television or DVD or what. It's sad today that we can recite almost verbatim something that we've watched. You know, isn't it amazing, like on cable sometimes, a movie will come on and it's at 5 or 6 years old and you'll sit there and say, yeah, I've seen this before, but it's good. I'm going to watch it again. And yet when we come to the Word of God, most people cannot even tell you who the 12 apostles were. Most people cannot tell you how many books are in the Bible. They cannot tell you, other than John 3:16, to recite a verse of Scripture. We can. Oh, you say, preacher, it's hard to memorize. Oh, listen, don't give me that. You can memorize what you want to memorize. You can memorize birthdays, cell phone numbers, and everything else. You can memorize the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my what? That I might not against thee. Yeah. You can memorize it if you want to. But our problem is that here's the way we do this. We take our Bibles, fold them up, we put them in the back seat of the car, up in the back floorboard somewhere, and there's where it stays until next week at church time, and then we'll say, hey, have you seen my Bible anywhere? Hey, do you know where I left it at? Yeah, you left it in the same place you did last week. And then we wonder why. We don't have any power. We wonder why we make bad choices. We wonder why all these adversity things come in our life and we have no defense. We wonder why you say, oh, preacher, the devil's just attacking me. The devil's fighting me. Yeah, have you put on the whole armor of God? Have you put on the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit? Have you done that? And then if you have, haven't done all, stand. Our problem is that most of the time, majority of people are not in the Word of God, so they don't know the will of God, they don't know the Word of God, and consequently, you cannot use the promises of God. Now, here in Matthew 18, 19, he says, to agree, in verse 19, and that means this, to speak the same thing. The words that we agree with in our heart are to be the words that will shape and create our future. Go with me over the book of Genesis and notice, turn with me please. If you're not turning, at least just rustle the pages to make me think you are. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. Here's the conversation between Eve and the serpent. Verse chapter 1, or chapter 3, verse 1 says in Genesis, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Here is the serpent talking to Eve. And at this point in time, he was not a snake. He didn't crawl upon his belly. That's later to come when God pronounced a curse upon him. And he is the most beautiful, the most cunning, the most subtle creature of all those that God has created. May I say to you that just because something looks good, sounds good, is appealing to the eyes, may not be of God. For the devil is an angel of light. He is deceiving folks. Listen, we are living in an age of deception. I showed a couple people this week, and I'm getting a little off the subject here, and I always do that on Sunday morning. But there is a fella, let's see, where is he at? Florida. If you have not seen this, you might just check it out sometime. I know some are, don't have internet resources, but his last name is DeJesus, and he is claiming to be God. And his followers are being tattooed 666. There was a piece on CNN. Why, and some of his followers, and he last year alone, they took in over $1 million. In his church, his followers are growing. And he says the word Antichrist is really a misnomer. It's not against God, but he said it is the new Christ. I am the new Christ. And people are falling for that. People are going and getting 666 tattooed on their arms, on their body, on their heads, on their neck. And they're pledging their allegiance. And you say, what are they thinking? We are living in a spirit of deception. Amen. Thank God for good Bible preaching churches, because, my friend, there is enough junk out yonder that will lead people astray. Thank God for the Word of God that will teach you, the Holy Spirit that will guide you. Amen. Now, when we talk about agreeing with the things of the Lord, the things that come out of my mouth ought to be those things that are pleasing unto Him. Go back here in Genesis. And here, what happened was in verse 2, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, my friend, God did not say that. He's adding to the Word of God. That's where you must have the Bible. Not just it's not good enough to have a good King James Bible and have it in your house. It's not, you've got to have it enough in your heart. You're not always going to have it on your side. You're not going to always have it in your pocket. You're not always going to be able to reach in your pocket, pull out your smartphone, and pull up that app. You need to have the Word of God in your life. Here's what happened to Eve. She agreed with the devil, she agreed with the serpent, and she agreed with what he was saying. And when she agreed with what he was saying, she became into the point that she accepted what he was saying rather than what God was saying. And you know the rest of the story. What we believe in our heart can change our destiny. The words they agreed upon produced the actions. The words that she agreed upon, she went and took of the fruit of the tree and ate of the fruit and gave it to Adam, and that produced their destiny. And by their sin, all men have become sinners. We were plunged into sin. The human race plunged into sin because of that, because of two people disobeying the word of the Lord. So what comes out of our mouth can change our course of life. Quickly this morning, I'm going to give you four things. Follow me along. Number one, words can change our destiny. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We talked about this last week or so. Would you say amen with me and agree with me on this? Did Jesus die for the sins of the world? Amen. Are all the world saved? Is it God's will that everybody in this world be saved? He says in Peter, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now let me ask you, when you pray for somebody, how do you pray for them? When you pray for somebody, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I would grant to say that probably 50% of you in here this morning have a lost loved one. You have somebody that you know of that's outside of the ark of safety. How do you pray for them? Do you pray for them and say, well, Lord, if it be your will, would you save them? Hey, wait a minute, that's a wrong prayer, because you just said it is not God's will that any man, woman, boy, girl die without Jesus Christ. So let the words that come out of my mouth approach the throne of grace with boldness. And would you say this when next time you pray for them? Lord, I know it's not your will that Joe go to hell. I know it's not your will that Sally go to hell. And God, I know it's your will to save them. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to expect you to do exactly what you said. Do you see what I'm saying? But if you stand back and say, well, if it's God's will that they get saved, then one of these days, maybe somehow, some ways, they'll hear the God. No, let's approach the throne of grace with boldness and let's say, God, I claim them in Jesus' name by the grace of God, by the power of God. I know that they're going to get saved. It's only a matter of time. They can run, but they can't hide. You see, prayer can do something that all the begging and pleading and crying and coercion cannot do. Prayer can change things. Prayer can change people. You believe that? Prayer can change the outcome. The words that come out of our mouth can cause us either to prosper or to fail. Go to Proverbs real quickly this morning. How many of you would like to have increase? Say amen. Let's say that one more time. How many of you would like to keep having debt and bills and disease and all that? How many of you like to have that? Don't answer me. How many of you though would like to say, I'd like to have good health and long life? How many of you like to say, I'd like to be prosperous? I'd like to be able to have my bills paid. I like to be able, now listen, I'm not preaching a prosperity religion. Don't get me wrong here this morning. I'm preaching this. How many of you believe when God said, my God shall supply all of your need? Amen. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. You may be sitting here this morning and you don't even have two nickels in your pocket. But I'm going to tell you this morning, what comes out of these lips can change your destiny. It can change your favor with God. It can change your prosperity with God. Oh, preacher, now you're treading where angels dare not. Look in Proverbs 18. If I'm wrong, then you come to me. We'll sit down. We'll talk about this. But I believe that I'm right. I wouldn't be saying it if not. Look in Proverbs 18. First of all, let's look in verse 21. Then we're going to go back to verse 20. Proverbs 18, 21 says, death and life are in the what? So is what comes out of our mouth important? How much is it important? It's a matter of life or death, right? Now look in verse number 20. You got your Bibles open there. A man's belly shall be satisfied, what? With the money that he is able to make by working long and hard. A man's belly shall be satisfied with what? The fruit of his what? So my friend, let me say to you this morning, if you want God's favor, you believe that God's going to give you favor. Let's put it this way. If you're in the business of selling something, they're going to buy it from somebody, so you just say, Lord, send them my way. I believe they're going to come in my store. I believe they're going to buy me out today. I believe I'm going to go home early today. Amen? Instead of saying, well, I don't know. I sure hope so. You never can tell how it's going to all work out. But if you come back and you say, listen, some folks would say, you know, I'm on short time. Other people's getting work. I'm not getting any work. How about you saying, you don't have to go out and broadcast this. You don't have to stand up in front of the church. You can go to your prayer closet and you say, God, I believe you're going to give me the hours I need this week. Lord, I believe you're going to give me the jobs I need this week. Lord, I believe the people are going to come into my shop that you want to come in my shop this week. Lord, while others are suffering, I believe that you're going to give me favor of God. I believe you're going to give me the blessings of God. Why? Because I believe your word and what's coming out of my mouth is down in my heart, and I believe God. I'm not believing man. I'm believing God. You believe man, you turn on the TV. I know I heard the reports this week. The unemployment rate is now at a low, has been for like now 4 or 5 years or something. I don't know. And you might say, boy, things are picking up. Well, we ought to be always saying things are picking up. Amen. We ought to always be saying God has shown his favor on us. Amen. We ought to always be saying God is giving me increase. God is giving me the blessings. Why? Because I'm walking in his word, and the things that's coming out of my mouth are going to be those things that are pleasing to him, not doubtful things. Second of all, our words can change our direction. That's God's will for our life. Go back to Numbers 14. We were there last week. Turn back with me, please. Numbers 14, quickly this morning. In Numbers 14, here's the Israelites. I want to show you something I run across. Maybe you've read this. Maybe you've run across it. But I ran across it the other day, and it just stood out in my mind. And I thought, Lord, my... You know, when these spies went out into the land, they came back, and they said, yeah, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Yes, it's a good land. Yes, there's fruit abounding, but... There's walled cities and there's giants and there's obstacles. We can't do that. Question, was it God's will that they go into the land? Speak to me. Come on, talk to me, church. Was it God's will they go into the land? Did they go into the land? No. Why? Because they came back and the words that came out of their mouth says, I know what God said, but. I know what he's promised, but. I don't feel that we can do it. I don't believe we can do it. And they began to speak defeat and death. And here's what God says. Look in chapter 14 of Numbers, verse 22. I said to myself the other day, Lord, why didn't you give them a second chance? Lord, why didn't you let them? They went out and they got this evil report. They come back. You're a good God. You're a gracious God. Why didn't you give them a second chance? And this is what he said to me. Chapter 14, verse 22, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these, how many times? 10 times. 10 times. And the Lord said, there's your answer. When I said, Lord, why didn't you give them a second chance? God said, I did. I gave them 10 chances. And thank God for the grace of God. You may be speaking negative stuff coming out of your mouth. You may have been speaking stuff that you ought not be speaking. You may have been putting your kids down. You may have been putting your spouse down. You may be in a situation where it's been all this junk coming out of your mouth. Hey, it's time to turn the steering wheel. It's time to get on the right path. Instead of those things that's coming out of our mouth, it's defeat and disease and death and destruction and disappointment. Why can't we speak the good things that come out of our mouth and say, God will provide. Things are on the increase. I have the favor of God. I may not see it just yet, but it is coming. Those stack of bills on my desk, don't get too comfortable sitting there, because you're not going to be there very long. God's going to work. God's going to meet the need. God's going to supply that. Amen. And so he said 10 times. And notice, have they not hearkened to my voice? You see, your words can change the direction of God for your life. It can change the will of God for your life. Third of all, this morning, quickly, our words can change our decisions. Go back over the book of Luke, and you might say, "Preacher boy, I tell you what, we're treading in some areas that I don't know about." Just hang on. Luke chapter number four. And notice something in verse number 38. The story is, the Lord Jesus goes into Peter's house, and there Peter's mother-in-law is sick of a fever. Now, you got your Bibles open. Who is the writer right here? Who's writing this book? Tell me, who is this? Come on, look at the top of your page. Saint who? Luke. And what was Luke by trade? He was a what? He was a physician. He was a doctor. So here is a doctor in the house. But now notice something here in Luke chapter number 4 and verse 38. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, Simon Peter, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. Now, can I tell you something right here? I know that Peter was not the first pope. Do you know how I know that? Because they tell me that a pope cannot be married. And so Peter had a mother-in-law. And why would you ever want a mother-in-law without being married? Say amen right there. I'll deal with that later. So Peter had a mother-in-law, and she was taken with a great fever. Now, when Luke describes this here, he uses this word great. He is a doctor. He is a physician. He is a trained doctor. And so when he sees this woman, it's not just a mild fever, it is a great fever. It is a fever that is producing delirium. She is out of her mind. She is very sick. Now notice what happens. And they besought him for her. Not Peter, not Luke, but they besought Jesus for her. And he stood over her and he rebuked what? The fever. He rebuked the fever. If that were you and me, and we walk into this house, and here's this woman who is delirious with fever, she's burning up, she's out of her mind, she's talking, hallucinating, what's the first thing you're going to say? Hey, run down to the Dollar General and get me some ibuprofen just as fast as you can. I need some Tylenol. Anybody got any Advil? Anybody got any aspirin? Where's Bear at when you need him? Well, that's not what they did, was it? Now, can I go on record and say, thank God for good doctors? Amen. Oh, yes, sir. Thank God for good doctors. I have a Christian doctor, and my wife keeps saying, why don't you go to my doctor? I said, I like the one I go to, because when I go and see him, which is rarity, but when I have to go and see him, we have a little prayer meeting. We have a little revival service, and I like, you know, I like going there. We'll sit and cry, and I said, Doc, you got other people. He said, that's all right. This is good right here. Now, thank God for good doctors. Don't minimize that. But can I tell you something? What does the book of James say? Is there any among you that's sick? Let him do what? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them what? Pray over him and let them anoint him. You know what our problem is today, my friend? It goes back to this whole thing of who do you believe the most? Who do you have the faith in the most? Do you have the faith in those that can offer out medicine and offer? Listen, thank God for good doctors. Thank God for the wisdom. When I go in a hospital, I pray for that person on the bed, and I pray, God, give the doctors wisdom. God, give the nurses wisdom so that they can treat that person, give them the right stuff that they need. But friend, I believe this. If there's any healing that's taken place, it's taken place is because of God. Don't matter if it's a cut on your finger or cancer. Any healing is coming from the Lord. When we stop believing that and we start putting our trust in something else, guess what? Everything we put our trust in is going to let us down. And here in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus addressed the problem and spoke to the problem. He said before, he said, if you have a mountain in your life, if you have a sycamine tree in your life, and by the way, that word sycamine tree is exactly what it is. It is a mulberry tree, an Egyptian mulberry tree, has very deep tap roots. It goes down far. Humanly speaking, it could not be uprooted. But when Jesus said, if you have a sycamine tree in your life that's blocking something, you speak to the tree and you say, be thou uprooted. And if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, it shall be done. Not because of you, not because of me, but because of His Word. There's power in the Word. Words can change our decisions. Matthew 21, what do you have faith in? What do you have faith in? What God is trying to do in my life, your life, in this year of 2014 is increase our faith. I believe we're going to need it, my friend, in the days to come. I believe in the days to come, I'm not trying to paint a gloomy picture. Thank God Jesus is coming. Amen. But I believe that churches like ours are going to come under attack. It may come. People are already talking about as these terrorist groups begin to infiltrate America, as more and more people, you say, oh, preacher, it'll never come here. Well, it's already here. And that will separate the men from the boys. It will separate true believers from non-believers. But the church, as you and I know it, we're going to have to be prayed up, powered up, if we're going to be able to stand. If not, the enemy is going to overrun us. You realize that ISIS group, their ultimate goal is the annihilation of all Christian. Their goal is to annihilate Christianity off the face of this earth, not just in the Muslim nations, not just overseas, but their goal is to annihilate churches like this, believers like you. Why? Because they're being empowered by the spirit of this world. And so, folks, what I'm trying to say is now is the time. Is change the direction of your life. Change. You say, preacher, I've been saying some awful bad stuff. I've been saying stuff that I shouldn't say. Preacher, the things that's coming out of my mouth are not pleasing. I've doubted God. I've questioned the Lord. My faith has not been strong. Change. Take the steering wheel and go 360. Take the steering wheel and say, Lord, by the grace of God, I'm not going to keep going in the path I'm going. I'm not going to keep saying the negative stuff I'm saying. I'm not going to keep doubting your promises. I'm going to get into this blessed book. I'm going to read it. I'm going to study it. I'm going to digest it. I'm going to know it so that I can apply it to my life. For everyone in here wants the favor of God, the blessings of the Lord, long life, good health. There's not a person in here that doesn't want that. It's right here. Let's find it.